Are you an entrepreneur looking for more free time, more money, or just looking for that success blueprint? The Proven Entrepreneur is the podcast for you. Host Don Williams and his guests share real success stories from proven entrepreneurs. Here's your host, Don Williams.
Hey, Don Williams here with today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show. I have got a phenomenal entrepreneur with us here today. I've got Grant Baldwin, who's the CEO of the Speaker Lab. And so he helps people get speaking gigs. And there's nothing quite like for lead generation than speaking. And so excited to have Grant here today. Welcome to the show, Grant.
Hey, Don. Thanks for letting me hang out with you. I appreciate it.
Man, thank you for coming and playing for a while. So tell us, what is the Speaker Lab A to Z?
Yeah, so the Speaker Lab is basically a coaching and training company for speakers and those interested in speaking. So the quick nutshell on my background is I was a full-time speaker for about a decade or so, and then had a lot of people asking me like, hey, I want to be a speaker. How do I do that? And when I got started, there weren't any podcasts or resources or coaching or training. I found myself emailing other speakers, harassing them, pestering them, can I pick your brain type stuff, and just stalking them until I figured out some answers. And so the Speaker Lab is basically, in large part, what I wish I had when I got started as a speaker. So when I got started, I felt like I had the potential, but I needed the plan. And so there's a lot of speakers that we work with who are brand new. They don't know what they don't know. They've done some speaking before here or there, but never been paid for it. Maybe been paid a time or two. And also speakers here doing it a lot and doing, 20, 30 paid gigs a year and going, hey, I want to get to 40, 50. I want to charge higher fees and get to bigger audiences. And I just don't know what to do. And so wherever you're at in your speaking journey, that's who we work with.
Gosh, I love that. And so I've probably been speaking 6 or 7 years, and I wrote a book first, and then we were stalking people, seeing if we could talk about the book. And it was interesting to me. One of the very first gigs I had was the Global Gaming Expo, which was 25,000 casino executives around the world. And so I'm with Grant. Stalk away. You never know what you might find. Okay. So Grant, you're in the Nashville area. Say
correct.
It.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Awesome. And so let me take you all the way back to young Grant. So ages 5 to maybe 18 in your home, whatever that looked like. And people have all kind of different, childhood homes. Yep. But was there someone in your home who was an entrepreneur who set that entrepreneurial example for you?
A little bit. So I have a good relationship with my parents. My parents split up when I was probably 12, 13, something like that. And I think in eighth grade. And my dad was a bit of an entrepreneur. He had more of a traditional corporate job for a while and then did his own thing for, a good chunk of probably the second half of his career. Or so kind of my high school years and beyond. And so I remember him, working from home and having some freedom, having some flexibility. My mom worked in the hospital world pretty much her entire career. So there's many times where she would, I'm the oldest of three. I got two younger siblings, and my siblings and I have always been pretty entrepreneurial. And so she's always been like, where did this come from? And I wish I'd gotten into some of this stuff when I was your age, And so I would say like in some ways, maybe saw some of that from my dad, but in other ways, I felt like I was always pretty entrepreneurial. I was the kid that was mowing lawns around the neighborhood and shoveling snow and anything I could to make a buck, and just always just really enjoyed that and trying to figure that out and what did that look like. And in fact, even not to get too far ahead, but when I was speaking full time and got to a point where I was kind of bored and restless, and I was hanging out with a friend and mentor, and he gave me some really, really good advice. He said, you want to regularly find things where the challenge exceeds the skill set. And meaning like when I first started speaking, the challenge exceeded the skill set, felt like I was way over my head. But what happens is over time is it flips and the skill set exceeds the challenge. So when I first started speaking, feel like I'm way over my head. But what happens is over time, I could go speak to 1,000 people and be on autopilot and do a great job, but just be bored internally. And so he said, you have to regularly find things where that challenge exceeds the skill set. But the other thing he said to me that really stood out to me, he said, some people are born to be speakers and they will be speakers their entire life. And he was that guy. Like he's been speaking for decades. He will perform his own funeral. The guy loves speaking. But for me, he said, Grant, I think you are a entrepreneur who happens to be a good speaker. And that really resonated with me because going back to like, I've always just enjoyed entrepreneurship. I remember even early in high school doing some paper and some class about entrepreneurship. I could barely spell it, but I was just fascinated by entrepreneurs and entrepreneurship. And it was something that I was always wanting to do. And so, yeah, speaking has kind of been a gateway for that.
I love that. And I totally agree. I think some people are just wired to be speakers. I know a guy out of Detroit, he does like 200 days a year.
Yep.
And if he could figure out how to do 250, he would.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like, oh my gosh. And he shared a story with me one time where he did 4 gigs in 4 cities on the same day. And because of the way he bills his travel, he collected 4 travel. And so he hired a private jet,
which is
the only way to get it done. And you're like, okay, I'm in awe.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Okay. So thank you for sharing that about your childhood. That's interesting to me. You know, we've now interviewed like 150 proven entrepreneurs for the show, mm-hmm. and about half had an entrepreneurial example and about half didn't. Mm-hmm. And so they were just, nature versus nurture.
Yep.
Answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The answer is yes. So tell me about, sounds to me like you were a hustler as a kid. You had side hustles. You were mowing yards up and down the street, whatever. Tell me your first job or your first entrepreneurial gig where you actually collected dollars, where you got paid.
Yeah, it probably was mowing yards. And I'd mowed, 5 to 10 around the neighborhood. And I remember one summer, my dad bought a riding, I was doing a push mower forever. And he finally broke down and got a riding mower. And so that was super fun, where you'd go mow for whatever and ride around on a tractor and make 20 bucks or 10 bucks or whatever it was then. And I really enjoyed that process. And I remember during high school, one of my favorite days of the year was a snow day, where school would be canceled. You'd be out of school, which is always a win. But me and another friend would go over to some rich neighborhood, and we'd go door to door and shovel driveways. And we'd come home with just our pockets filled with fives and tens and twenties, and just felt like $1 billion for a couple of teenage boys. So I always enjoyed working hard. I think that was something that both my parents have done really, really well and been great examples, is they both worked really, really hard. That's something I've tried to instill in my own kids, is that mom and dad, we have a great life, but it's because we've worked really, really hard to get that. And we didn't win the lottery, and we haven't gotten any handouts. We don't have any inheritance. We've worked really, really hard and been really intentional about creating the kind of life that we have.
I love that. You know, it's kind of the George Foreman doctrine. You know, he tells his kids, I'm rich. You're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So very true. You're like, well, that's clear communication, isn't it?
Mom and dad are doing well. You're broke. Yeah. We let you live in our house.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So, all right. So that's kind of young Grant. When you graduated high school, did you backpack across Europe, join the Merchant Marine, the Peace Corps, go to university? What'd you do?
So I went to a Bible college, actually. So in high school, I was really involved in my local church. My youth pastor had a really big impact in my life. And I was like, I want to do that. Like, that seems like a cool gig. And so that was kind of the path I was on. So went to Bible college and then worked at a different church for a little while. Even in college, there was a guy I worked for a year or so who was a professional speaker. And so I kind of helped him a little bit on the back end with travel and logistics, contracts, that sort of thing. So kind of get to see, like, okay, this is a career path. And even as a youth pastor, there were parts of it I liked, parts of it I didn't like. But one thing I really enjoyed was speaking, and felt like I was decent at it. Would speak on a weekly basis to students, would speak a couple weekends a year in big church. And just like, this is fun. I would love to do more of this. I'd love to get paid to do this. And so speaking was just one of those things that it was work, but at the same time, it was something I enjoyed and felt like it, to some degree, it came natural and easy to me.
Yeah, I love that. And so, you know, youth pastors, that's kind of farm for senior pastor. You know, almost every senior pastor was a youth pastor at some point. And great pastors are typically pretty good speakers. That's tool of their trade. Okay, so tell me, is your current business, that your first business?
Yeah, so basically I was a youth pastor, and then decided to become a speaker. So I was a speaker for about 10 years or so, and then started the Speaker Lab. So yeah, I've been self-employed for 18, 19 years, something like that. So I was telling our team the other day, the Speaker Lab, we have about 35 team members or so. And so I was telling them, I said, hey, this is the biggest company I've ever worked for. I'm 41, and I just never really had a traditional, you know, career type role. So I've never been in a part of a big company. So I said, this is the most people I've ever worked with at a company. So some of that was just to tell them, hey, I'm doing my best. I'm figuring out as I go. I'm learning and making this up in many ways, which is the reality of entrepreneurship for everybody. Is every entrepreneur, we're all making it up as we go. We're doing the best we can. And some days you're like, hot dang, this is good. Like, things are going well. And Other days you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I have no idea how this is still held together with duct tape and chewing gum, but somehow it's working. And that's also kind of that's the nature of entrepreneurship, of what we all signed up for.
It is. And sometimes you can have both feelings in the same day.
Very much so.
It doesn't even have to be different days. Agreed. At 10 o'clock, I'm on top of the world. And at 2, it's like, oh my gosh, we're going off the cliff. I don't know what's going to happen. So very interesting. Okay. So tell me, what led you to transition from being, do you still speak?
A little bit, not nearly as much as I used to. So when I got started speaking, there's a friend of mine who's a speaker who said, he gave me a really good piece of advice. He said, speaking is a high paying manual labor job in that you get paid really, really well to stand on stage and run your mouth. But the nature of it is you got to get on a plane. You got to leave your family. You got to go somewhere. You got to show up. And it's kind of like a surgeon. You know, a surgeon makes really good money to perform surgery, but the nature of their job is they have to perform surgery. So if you wanted to, you know, take a couple weeks off, take a month off, shut down, whatever, the things dry up really, really quickly. And so that always kind of been in the back of my mind of even when I got to a point where I was doing 60, 70 paid speaking gigs a year, I was on the road 80, 90 nights a year. I enjoyed it. Like, it was a lot of fun. It wasn't like, this is miserable or this is awful. I hate it. Like, I always really, really enjoyed it. But at the same time, like, you're like, this is just it's a nice job and you reach a ceiling, you know, in order to make more as a speaker, you either need to do more dates, which again, I'm not trying to go from 70 to 200 or 250, or you go to a different industry where you can charge higher rates. And that wasn't super appealing. But at the time, I had a lot of people who were asking me like, hey, you're a speaker. That's kind of cool. I want to do that. How would I do that? And I felt like I'd built some good systems and processes to understand the business of speaking. Because there's a lot of people that teach on like the art of speaking. How do you create and deliver a good talk and presentation skills, that sort of thing. But I couldn't really find anyone who was doing anything related to the business, you know, who hires speakers, what do you speak about, how much you charge, like, how does this work? And so we started doing some coaching and training around that, and that really started to kind of take off. So that's where I saw some more potential of, hey, I think we could really build a legitimate business here that's not just me getting on stage or getting on a plane or that sort of thing. So I still do some occasional speaking, but not nearly as much as I used to.
Yeah, understood. And, you know, I know a lot of speakers and am a speaker, and I always kind of look at it as I'm really getting paid to travel.
Yeah.
Speaking is not really work for me. And so, you know, give me a microphone and put me in front of 500 people. That's fun.
Yeah.
But the not fun part is go to the airport, get on the plane, show up a day ahead of time.
Yeah. And what I've told clients before, half joking, half serious, is you don't pay me to speak. You pay me to leave my family. And that's expensive. And so that's part of it. And that's part of the, you know, the part of the gig, but it's yeah. And you know, they're like, there's parts of travel that are non-glamorous and non-sexy, and you wake up and you're like, what time zone am I in? And what hotel is this? And
what city is this?
Yeah. I just want to wake up in my own bed. That's way more enjoyable, but there's still like, you know, I know like for me personally, like I've been able to see a lot of the US that most people will never get to see in a lifetime. And been fortunate just to meet some amazing people and see some awesome places. So there's certainly like, it's not, you know, a negative thing, but you know, travel can be very tiring for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I've enjoyed that piece because if I get to go, if I'm speaking in some cool place, you know, we spend a week or two,
you know,
and might as well go to Mexico City, you know, might as well spend a week. So tell me, what about a hard lesson? Something that's happened in your entrepreneurial path that at the time was like, ugh, that hurts. But maybe now, looking back, having a little distance, it turns out it was actually kind of a positive for you.
Yeah. So a couple of things come to mind. One would be when I very first started speaking. So my wife and I were youth pastors at this church. My wife was 3-4 months pregnant with our first child. And there's nothing like bringing a kid into the world that just causes you to question everything. What am I doing with my life? So decided to, the church we were at, it wasn't like the healthiest of situations and a bit of a toxic environment. And so ended up leaving that. And for the next year, just trying to figure out like, okay, what am I doing with my life? And you know, what do I want to be when I grow up? And so have a lot of like well-meaning, well-intentioned family members who are like, so you quit your job and your wife's pregnant. And like, have you thought this through? And you're just kind of like, yeah, I thought I did, but you raised some valid points, you know, of how we're going to eat and live indoors. So that year was really, really difficult to just kind of think through and process and lick my wounds of figuring out like, now what am I going to do? I went to college to do this thing. I was anticipated doing this thing. I got into it. It wasn't, you know, necessarily what I thought it was going to be. And so now what do I want to do? And, you know, I'm kind of interested by speaking, but like, I don't know anything about it. And like, how do you build a business doing that? And so, you get a newborn baby. And there's just, so there's just a lot of, like, you know, the normal doubts and insecurities that go through your mind. So that was, you know, that very first time. I remember another time, like, fast forward, this is probably a few, this happened multiple times, where as the Speaker Lab has grown, as we've hired different people and different people have helped, like, we have a really, really great group of people. And so sometimes you'll have some people that are like, oh, we can't possibly function without this person. And so I remember a couple, like, key team members left to go start their own business or do something else. And you're like, oh man, everything's going to fall apart. And you end up hiring someone that ends up being a, you know, a better fit. And it's like, oh wow, I can't imagine we could exist without this person, you know? So there's definitely times where, like we were talking about earlier, like, as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, where things are great, you're on top of the mountain, and times where, like, things are just, feels like they're just falling apart. And I think one thing I do a decent job at is I'm pretty even keeled, and the highs aren't too high and the lows aren't too low. And if we have a bad day, like, great, let's go to bed and tomorrow's going to be a new day. And if we have a great day, awesome. You know, that doesn't guarantee squat for tomorrow. And so, and everything in between. So that's, you know, again, that's part of the roller coaster of entrepreneurship. I remember talking with a friend and they were thinking about starting their own business. And I said, we were kind of talking about, like, the nuts and bolts and blocking and tackling of being an entrepreneur. I said, I think one of the biggest challenges is just the mental game of the, you know, the insecurities, the doubts, the fears, the worries, the, am I going to be able to make payroll? Can I pay me? Or is this all going to come crumbling down at any moment? And just that mental weight. And so it's like, those, you know, those voices for me are still there, but you learn how to manage that and control that and navigate that, so it doesn't become this all encompassing thing that's just going to crush you or destroy you.
I love that. And so on the show, the most common question a guest has asked me, or comment that a guest has said, Don, I'm not sure I'm the proven entrepreneur. I'm not sure I'm proven. And we've had multiple billionaire guests, and it's always the same question or the same statement. It's like, I'm not really sure. I'm like, well, you've been doing it a long time. You've done a lot of stuff. And the thing about entrepreneurship is it's not all success. And it's realizing that failing is actually part of the success journey.
Yeah.
It's not the opposite of success. It's part of success. We're not going to win at everything. Humans are kind of funny. I think I'm right, like, every time when I'm presented with something, whatever my bias response is, I think I'm right. But we know this, that humans are wrong the majority of the time, not just me, but everybody. And so,
going back to, you know, this piece of advice I got from this friend of where the, you know, you want to find things where the challenge exceeds the skill set. And, like, that's entrepreneurship, is that every day there's some type of challenge and you may have some type of skill set, but you just feel like, man, I'm just over my head, but I'm not entirely sure. It's not, I'm not drowning, I'm not dying, but I'm pushing it. And that's part of it. You know, for example, I like doing puzzles with my family. And so we'll take a puzzle. We just finished a big 2,000 piece puzzle that took over the kitchen table. And my wife was thrilled when we were done with it. And so she can have her table back, but working on it. And so it's just the challenge of, like, okay, let's dump all the pieces out. I know these pieces go together somehow. And I know it's going to take us a minute to figure it out. But that's, again, that's part of the fun of it. It helps you to continue to, in entrepreneurship, when you accomplish something, then it starts to expand your mind of what's possible and helps you to continue to become better as an entrepreneur. So, like, when I say this is the biggest company I've ever been a part of, well, I've never led a team of this size. And so there's plenty of days where I just feel out of my element, but that's also part of the fun of it. And I wouldn't have thought, you know, hiring my first employee, I could ever do that, and let alone, you know, 30 something employees. But fast forward. And so the idea of going, like, could we ever have, you know, 50 or 100 employees? Like, boy, that seems crazy. There's no way. But I wouldn't have thought we could have got to this point either. So I think I'll give you one other analogy. It's kind of, I heard this before, kind of about life, but I think it's really applicable for entrepreneurship. But life is kind of like driving a car at night. You can only see a few feet in front of you, but you can drive for hundreds of miles that way. You can make an entire road trip. You have no idea the roadblocks, the construction, the detour. You have no idea that accident up there. You have no idea that big pothole, no clue of that. You can just see literally a few feet in front of you. And that's the way life is. And that's certainly the way that entrepreneurship is. I have no idea what the role holds. Now, we have goals and plans and ambitions and that sort of thing, but, like, nobody saw a pandemic coming. Nobody has any idea what's happening today, let alone, you know, weeks or months from now. But you can still make an entire journey that way. You can continue to move forward and figure it out as you go. And that's, you know, that's really the name of the game in entrepreneurship.
I love that metaphor. And so, you know, one thing I share with my clients is this, is that, you know, our comfort zone is relatively defined and we like it because it's comfortable there. But what we know is when we step out of our comfort zone grows.
Yeah.
And then we step out of our comfort zone and comfort zone physics says it grows again. And so the goal is to get out of your comfort zone as quickly and as often as you can to where you grow your ability. And clients that come in, they're $10 million company. They're like, if I can just get $20 million, everything will be good. Yeah. I'm like, well, it'll be $20 million good, but it'll also have $20 million challenges. And so, you know,
the goal line keeps moving.
That's just part of the deal. And it's kind of what you're saying about, you know, you drive a little and you can see a little further. So I love that. What about a warp speed moment? So things are going pretty good in your company and you make a hire or a couple decisions and all of a sudden, things really take off.
Yeah. You know, I think one thing that, that's worked well for us is we've never had some major like hockey stick. Oh, we just did this one thing and then everything changed. I think we've had significant growth year over year. We grew 70% last year over the previous year. And we've been between 60 and 80% a year since the company started. So we've had pretty significant growth in some ways, but it also hasn't been like we did one thing and that changed the game. I think the things that work really well for us is hiring really, really good people. You know, it's not like something that nobody else has thought of or said, but like there really is a massive amount of truth to that. Hiring really good people, giving them a lot of freedom, flexibility, autonomy. We're a completely virtual company in large part because I want to work from home selfishly. I want to be around my wife and kids. And so we're a completely virtual company. So I don't want to babysit people. I don't want to micromanage people. Like, here's what we hired you to do. Here's what success looks like. You know, we'll stay in touch, but I don't want to breathe down your neck. Otherwise there's no point in you being here. So hiring great people, getting out of the way. I think another thing is like, we've been really, really intentional on our company culture. I think that's kind of a misconception that you can't have a virtual company and have a healthy company culture because you're not in the office and you're not seeing each other. You don't have water cooler conversations. And we've been able to prove otherwise. You know, we have an amazing, amazing company culture. Like, people don't leave. It's been almost 2 years since we had a team member leave. And like, people just, they stay and they drink the Kool-Aid and they're all in. Being really intentional about the company culture and trying to create the type of environment that people want to be a part of. They want to be a part of for the long term. You know, one thing I tell the team regularly is I want this to be the best place you ever work. And I never want someone to feel like the grass is greener elsewhere. I half joking, half seriously, I want to make it really hard for you to leave, like not in a manipulative way, but like, I don't want someone to feel like they're always looking for their next thing or trying to figure out their next thing. But they're like, this is, the grass is not greener somewhere else. Like, it's great here. This is a great gig. And so being intentional about those things, I think also just like doing the same thing over an extended period of time, like just keep showing up. So it's not like, okay, Grant, you know, did the speaking thing and then I got into manufacturing and then I did, you know, some of the retail business and then I was doing some Amazon FBA thing and then I was doing some home service. But it's like, no, Grant's still teaching people how to get booked and paid to speak, like the same thing. And just doing that over an extended period of time, like you start to build up some momentum and a track record and some brand recognition in the marketplace. And people know you as the go-to person on that thing. So picking something, sticking with it, having good people, being intentional on culture, like those are the things that have ultimately like really helped and perpetuated our growth.
Love that. When you talk about culture and hiring great people, it's always the who. You know, it's never the what. It's always the who. It's like, who did we get to do this? So, okay, I'm going to put you in a time machine, take you all the way back to 20-year-old Grant, and you're going to get, you know, don't touch him, can't occupy the same space, but you get about 60 or 120 seconds to share something with 20-year-old Grant that you know now that you wish you knew then, that maybe it would have sped you along your path or ironed out a couple rough spots, but what would you tell your 20-year-old self if you had just a minute or two?
I would tell him that, hey, man, you're okay. You're going to be okay. It's going to work out. I think for me early on, I had a lot of confidence in myself. I don't feel like I was ever cocky or arrogant, but I just had confidence like, hey, I can do something with life. You know, it's not easy, but I got to work at it, but I can go somewhere. But you also kind of, I remember like wanting to look into the magic crystal ball of like, yeah, but how's this all going to play out? Is it going to work out? And I'm working hard and I'm doing the right things, but I can only see as far as the headlights will show me. And I don't know what that's going to be like. And so in many ways, it's just kind of like, yeah, man, you're good. Like, just keep showing up, keep doing the work. It's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. Also I got married when I was 20. So my wife and I, we were high school sweethearts, and we just celebrated our 21st wedding anniversary. We've been together 26 years. And
congratulations.
Thank you. So I'd also just say, like, yeah, man, marry that girl. Let's just take care of her and things are going to be okay.
Yeah. Love that. And so I think many entrepreneurs could be reminded, hey, it's going to be okay. Yeah. Don't let the drama sweep you away.
Yeah.
And certainly who you choose as a mate is huge.
Big time.
To what you do and your peace and just the quality of your life. So Grant, tell me, what's a poster child client for you? Just define it for us so we know exactly what it is.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that we work with who are in the early stages of their speaking business. And, you know, I think one of the fun things about speaking is it's not necessarily a one size fits all, meaning, you know, we've talked about, I was doing 60, 70 gigs, other people that do 200 gigs. And some people may hear that and be like, sign me up. I want to do that. That sounds amazing. And other people are like, I've got other stuff going on, but I'd love to do 5 gigs a year, 10 gigs a year. I just don't know. How do you find those? And what do you speak about? And who hires you? And how does it work? And so speakers who especially are in those early stages and just trying to get clear on, you know, who do I speak to? What do I speak about? What's the problem I actually solve here? Is there even a market for this thing? And maybe I want to share my story, but I'm not sure if this is something people would hire speakers to talk about. And can I get paid for this? Or, you know, I have an existing coaching or consulting business. How do I connect it back to that? Or can I do that? And so it's just kind of, how do I get started? I don't know what I don't know. And all I know is I've done a little bit of speaking before. I've done some word of mouth stuff or referral or spoke at a friend's event and did something for a buddy and it was fun. I want to do more of it. What do I do now? And so we work with a lot of speakers who are in that spot and just trying to figure out, I've done some speaking. I want to do more speaking. Tell me what steps I need to take.
So listen up, folks. If that fits you, I'm going to ask you to reach out to Grant or his team. How do we do that, Grant?
Yeah, everything we do is over at thespeakerlab.com, thespeakerlab.com. We got a podcast by the same name. So if you listen to this podcast, you probably listen to other podcasts. Speaker Lab podcast, we've got over 400 episodes there, a lot of great content. So yeah, a lot of great, great free resources to check out.
That's awesome. Grant, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I'm really grateful.
Thanks, Don.
That's today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur Show. See you next time. Thanks.
That's today's episode of the Proven Entrepreneur. Go to provenentrepreneurshow.com, subscribe to the show, leave an iTunes review, and you could win a $25,000 VIP day in Dallas with Don himself. And get Don's easier and faster selling with video course free. Please join Don on the next episode of The Proven Entrepreneur.